Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. For more than three decades, Milwaukee Magazine readers have looked with anticipation to the magazine's annual Best Of Guide to the City. From pretty straightforward categories like Best Pizza to more tongue-in-cheek awards like Best Political Pleats, the issue is a good snapshot of Milwaukee at a certain place in time, in this case, fall 2013. Assistant Editor Claire Hannon joins us in the studio for a Best Of look at the Best Of 2013. Claire, it's great to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with an obvious question as we talk of this Best Of issue. What is Packers receiver James Jones doing on the cover? And I gather he actually has some crossover between the Best Of and the rest of the issue as well.
He does. He is actually our style model in the two-page style section. And kind of the Best Of tie-in is the shirt he is wearing was screen printed by Ink to the People, which also received a Best Of nod.
So let's talk about Ink to the People. It's as good a way as any to get to them because you recognize them for best t-shirt, but really it probably could be best story of a t-shirt.
Yeah, they are one part of the story, an essential part. In the wake of the Boston Marathon bombings, these two college students from Emerson College reached out to Ink to the People and said, we want to create a t-shirt that's blue and yellow, says Boston Strong, and just a really bold type. Ink to the People said, okay, great, we'll definitely help you. And they donated almost the majority, I think, of the production costs up till the first, like, so many, 1,000 shirts maybe. So it took off, and they opened the shirt up to be bought by the public, and the sales went bonkers in the days after the bombing. And they ended up selling, I think, some 20,000 and raising more than 800,000 for the One Fund, which the governor of Massachusetts set up.
Well, and explain the way that Ink to the People is set up, because it's not your usual t-shirt company.
Yeah, it's really, really user-friendly. Basically, you set the price that you want to sell the t-shirt for. You create the design and you upload a design. You basically just open it up, and then you set an amount of shirts you want to sell. So say you want to sell 20 or you want to sell 150. Once you reach that number, Ink to the People will print the shirts. The production costs, the cool thing is the production costs are built into the price that you set. So you can sell 100 t-shirts and make whatever profit you determine without any startup costs.
And it also sounds like you don't have any risk that if you create this t-shirt idea and nobody wants to buy it, you haven't just paid for a bunch of shirts that nobody's going to buy.
Exactly. And the trick to getting your money is how well can you make sure people buy the shirt.
There's also kind of a focus on beer in this collection this year. Was that an intentional focus or did it just happen that way?
We are Milwaukee Magazine. But it was, it was intentional in that there were all these great beers coming out, and we have a fantastic beer blogger who keeps us on the up and up with all of those, and we thought we should do something with that. Alterra also started selling, Collectivo started selling beer.
You have a cup of coffee in front of you.
Sitting right next to me. But they started selling beer, so we just thought, you know what, let's do a taste test of the best fall beers. And so we got kind of the who's who of the beer people together, including Mike Romans, who owns Romans Pub, Marie from Discount Liquor, who everyone called the beer goddess, Caleb, who is the beer buyer at Ray's, and he writes their amazing newsletter, Bill Brown from Rumpus Room, Brad Todd, who owns Stubby's, which also has a fantastic beer list, and then Grinder, or Tom Ciula, who is a bartender at Sugar Maple, and then Dan, our blogger. So we got them all together at Romans, and Abby and I were bartenders, and we poured seven Wisconsin beers.
And these are fall beers particularly.
They're all fall beers, yeah. And since we were doing this, obviously, in advance of fall, we were only able to get what was available to us. But I think we got a pretty good statewide selection. And we just had them score them all based on taste, smell, I think appearance, and one other factor, I forget. And what ended up getting the highest score is actually Black Husky's Sparkly Eyes.
And Black Husky, I know nothing about Black Huskies.
Black Husky, it is a two-person operation out of Pembine, Wisconsin. It is a guy who is brewing, I think, in his basement for a while. And someone told me that his wife just joined him in this endeavor recently because they were getting so much demand. He delivers everything himself. So he drives down to Milwaukee every couple weeks. They actually delivered some bottles to our office for the taste test. And apparently they make a very good beer.
Well, and this sounds like almost the equivalent of a garage band making it big.
Yeah. The judges couldn't stop talking about it, and I had a very little sip, and I thought it was great, but I'm obviously not an expert. That's why we got all these people together.
That's why you were not one of the judges.
Right.
Well, so let's stick with the food and beverage theme and maybe the grassroots theme for a bit, because you turned over the responsibility for deciding on best pizza in town to readers. How did that event go down? And at the risk of making me hungry, what came out on top?
So best pizza in a city with about a million pizza joints was a tricky beast.
And Milwaukee really is kind of a good pizza city.
It is. You would not believe how many we have. So we reached out to about 35 local pizza joints, and we told them about this contest, asked if they wanted to participate. Some did, some didn't. And so we put 16 on our website, 15 or 16 on our website, and we asked our readers to narrow that list down to 5 because we couldn't have an event with that many. There's not enough room in Bayshore. They narrowed it down to Ian's, Classic Slice, Ann's Italian Restaurant, Cranky Al's, and Calderon Club. And then one day over the summer, one Saturday, we didn't tell anyone the location. We just said, watch our Facebook and website at 10 a.m. and you'll find out where we're doing this pizza contest. And so all 5 showed up at Bayshore with hundreds of pieces of pizza. And I think we got a little over 400 people who actually voted. So we got way more than 400 that actually ate all the pizza. and Calderon Club was the reader's choice.
And you didn't want to give away the location far in advance just so that one of these restaurants didn't stack the deck and have all their fans go there? Or
no, we didn't want it to be absolutely overrun. We were the security guards and none of us are paying the bills on that job, so we knew that we just didn't want it. It was crowd control, pretty much.
You wear a lot of hats for this issue. Yeah. You're a bartender, you're a security guard.
Event planner, pizza taster.
And it's significant, actually, the picture that accompanies this is a very standard Milwaukee picture of pizza. The pieces are square.
Yep. I think actually most of the – oh, no. Actually, we required them to make them square. That was that was just so that people wouldn't be bringing, full slices of pizza and then no one can finish anything and there's a lot of wasted food.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the best pizza, and Calderon Club took that title.
Yep.
I was stunned to read of the upset this year in the best bathroom category. The John Michael Kohler Art Center in Sheboygan is such a safe bet, but apparently there is a bathroom right here in Milwaukee that is worth a visit first.
Yes. And we knew this would ruffle a lot of feathers. So we are prepared for the backlash. But the Urban Ecology Center has a totally green bathroom. It uses rainwater in the urinals. There are some other things we didn't have space to detail. But, it's a very green bathroom. I think the website BuzzFeed gave it a whole lot of props this year.
You didn't have to send out all the staff members to use all the various bathrooms.
No. One intrepid reporter, I believe, went.
And that was enough.
Yeah,
if I remember the byline, I think that's a Matt Rohde.
Yep. Yes.
Another point you make in this issue is that this was the best year for public art. And what's behind that distinction?
Yeah, well, it was mostly just we noticed a ton of it happening more than last year.
And you spot like two in particular, I think, that were especially noteworthy.
Yeah. Jeremy Novy's Koi Fish, which are kind of like a scavenger hunt around the city. You can kind of just find them if you're lucky. And then the Common Denominator Project, which is really just kicking off. I think there will be more murals and such going up for that. But the first one was on Fond du Lac Avenue, and it was a Reggie Baylor. I think it was like a locomotive mural on the ground. I think there were 9 artists involved with that. And actually, the people who painted it, it was a mix of like volunteers, artists, and I think some inmates. Just a really collaborative project. The Typeface Project will be launching. Actually, that's in October. It's a good year for it. And we hear that it will only get better.
Well, Claire Hannon, thank you so much. And congratulations on another Best Of.
Thanks.
Claire Hannon is assistant editor at Milwaukee Magazine. You'll find a link to the magazine's Best Of 2013 issue from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. That's Wednesday's edition. Tomorrow on the show, a writer returns to his alma mater, UWM, to learn why so many African-American students struggle and often fail to graduate, plus the effort to get Wisconsin schools to open before Labor Day. I'm Mitch Tighe. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. We're NPR in Milwaukee. It's 11 o'clock. Hope you can keep listening because fresh air is next. We'll be right back.